Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with the disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate, therefore, said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, we have in this chapter then the arrest and the beginning of the trial of Jesus before the high priest and then also before Pilate. So, excuse me, immediately after the prayer then, the high priestly prayer that we read this morning, Jesus picks up and heads out to the garden. We know it to be the Garden of Gethsemane out by the Kidron Valley, outside of the city. So Judas also knew that place, John tells us, and that's where he had hoped to take Jesus, for he knew that that was a popular haunt of Christ's, that Christ often went there to pray, to converse with his disciples. It was indeed a place where one could find solitude and release from the labors of toil and so on, and it was a place where Jesus had often gone to pray and to meditate. So Judas has received a band of officers. So apparently, I mean, what this sounds like is that Judas has been given some kind of deputation from the chief priests and the scribes as a part of the deal that he had made with them. And so he is leading this band of soldiers, these temple guardsmen, to the Garden of Gethsemane. When they get there then, now John doesn't tell us like the other evangelists do about the betrayal of Judas with a kiss. He tells us about something different because John has a different purpose in mind. His purpose is to show the majesty of Christ. And so when the soldiers arrive, Jesus is there and he says to them, Whom seek ye? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus responds by saying, Ego eimi. I am. Now, some have said, and I think erroneously so, that Jesus kind of blasted them back with the power of his word. I don't think that's what that means. I think what it means is when he said, I am, that no, these were not Romans. These were temple guardsmen. So they understood the significance of what Jesus was saying. And because they understood that significance, they cowered at Jesus claiming the divine name. They were struck with fear when Jesus said, Ego eimi, when he said, I am. Now notice the he in your King James Version is in italics, because literally Jesus said, I am. And several times throughout the Gospel of John, John points out to us these sayings of Christ that he claimed to be the eternal God, claiming to himself this Greek form of the divine name. So, Jesus is claiming to be God. They understand that claim, and they go backward and take their defensive posture against what they think might come from Christ, God himself, who would resist their arresting him. So they fall back into a defensive posture. That's what I think is happening. As soon as he said that unto them, that I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So then he asked them again, and they said, I am he. let these go. And again, Jesus is mindful of prophecy and the words that he himself spoke to keep his word. And so he did so that none of them, none of the disciples, would be lost. All right, so then Simon Peter, always out front, ready for action, draws his sword and hacks off Malchus's ear. Of course, I don't think Peter was aiming for his ear. I think Malchus had good reactions. So that when Peter starts to swing, he's swinging at his neck, and Malchus kind of goes like that, and it gets the ear instead. And so off comes the ear. Dr. Luke tells us, and of course, as a physician, he might be more interested in this than John was. It doesn't match John's purpose, but it might match Luke's purpose, which talks so much about healing, that Jesus, you know, reattached his ear. He healed his ear with his touch. Jesus tells him to put his sword into his sheath because this is his, it is of God's decree that he should go forward and die for the sins of the people. Notice that Jesus is not resisting, and this is what we call, as we learned a few weeks ago, his passive obedience. And that as the first Adam had a special command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil besides the moral law, so also the second Adam had a special command besides the moral law, and that special command was to lay his life down a ransom for many. So we have then our Lord Jesus Christ telling Peter to put his sword up, I will drink the cup that the Father has given me. So then he's arrested, and they take him to Annas and then to Caiaphas. As the report, as John goes on to give this report of what's going on, he intimates that it is he himself that has some familiarity with the high priest. So John, we think, was somehow related to the high priest. He was within the family. Notice what he says. There was another disciple that followed by, and whenever John speaks anonymously, we believe he's speaking of himself. So John says he was able to get Peter in because he was connected. And so when he goes to bring Peter in, the damsel, the young lady who is at the door, says to Peter, I think you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And Peter says, not so. So then we go on past that in verses 19 and following. The high priest asks Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine, and he goes on to give what sounds like a very reasonable answer. The reasonable answer is, if I tell you what I've been teaching, you're not going to believe me anyway, so ask those who have heard me. Ask my disciples, ask those who have heard me preach, ask them what I taught, they will tell you. Of course, the soldier that stood by interpreted that as an act of rebellion, refusing to answer the high priest's question, and so he struck Jesus on the face. This is the first instance that we have in this gospel of Jesus being physically abused, mistreated. He has been arrested, but here he is struck without cause. And Jesus himself intimates as much when he asks the question of that soldier. But keep in mind that in every blow, in every stroke, in every captious question, in every mocking and scourging that Jesus underwent, he is indeed fulfilling the wrath of his Father on our behalf. That stroke that we see Jesus bearing here, that was one of the strokes that was due to us and far beyond. All right, so they're on the way to Caiaphas now, and Simon Peter denies two other times, and that makes up the full complement of his threefold denial, and then the rooster gives his sound. This passage doesn't tell us that Peter went out and wept bitterly, that he was sorrowful or anything like that, but it is intimated in that it is mentioned. Again, this speaks of the Gospel of John being written later than the others, and John assumes much of his readership. John assumes that we've already read this account in the other Gospels. All right, so then in verses 28, we go from Caiaphas to the Hall of Judgment, the Praetorium, where Pilate is, And I found something most ironic as I was reading through this week in verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves, that is the Jews that led him to the hall of judgment, went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So they had this belief that if they came into contact with the people of the land, with Gentiles, and they themselves came into contact with them, they would be rendered unclean, and because it is the time of the Passover, their purification would have taken too long and they would have missed the Passover. All right, well, we might call that devout. We might think of that as wanting to keep the law of God, except for what they're doing. And in no other place that I can think of is it played out so very clearly that they're straining at gnats and swallowing camels. Here they are refusing to go into the praetorium because they might be defiled because they want to eat the Passover, and they're killing the Passover. They're putting Christ to death. They're asking Pilate to murder him for them or on their behalf. But they won't enter into the judgment hall because they might be ceremonially unclean. So it's an important point for us. Let's make sure that we're not straining at gnats and swallowing down camels, right? All right, so another great exchange here about the righteousness, in quotations, and tongue-in-cheek, of the men that bring Jesus to Pilate. Pilate went out unto them, so they make Pilate come out unto them. They won't go in. And he says, why are you here? What accusation do you bring against this man? Here's their big legal answer. If he were not a malefactor, we wouldn't have brought him. You just need to take our word for it. We don't have any real accusation, but just know it from our own lips. He's a bad guy. That's how you want to treat him. Treat him like a bad guy because that's what he is. No proof, no witnesses, no accusation, no formal charges. Just trust us on this. He's a bad guy. All right, so then Pilate said to them, take him and judge him according to your law. I mean, he reads through them at that point. He knows that they have no charges against Christ. And so he says, well, take him and judge him according to your law. And they say, well, we can't put anyone to death. And immediately when they say that, John says, this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. This is what Jesus meant when he said, this is the kind of death I'm going to die. I'll be lifted up from the earth. In other words, he's speaking of a Roman crucifixion, not Jewish stoning. And John picks right up on that. All right, so then the interview between Christ and Pilate closes out the chapter. And there is several things noteworthy. Let's just pick one out. Pilate asks Jesus if he's a king, and he says, this is why I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? What is truth? So Pilate takes up the part of the relativist, and Jesus takes up the part of the absolutist. Know this, that there is no such thing as relative truth. If something is true, it is universally and objectively true. There is no such thing as subjective truth. That something can be true for this person, but not for that person. True, if something is true, it is true universally. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not specific truths. There are specific truths, but they are true in every instance of their examination. There's no such thing as relative truth. And so Jesus says, I have borne witness to the truth in that I am the King of the Jews, that I have a kingdom that is not of this world. And Pilate says, well, that's your truth. In essence, that's what he's saying. There is no such thing as your truth and my truth. Truth is universal and objective, or else it can be no truth at all. So when in the last chapter Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. The Bible, the word of God, is objectively true for all men. everyone must bear the curses and the blessings of God's Word according to the truth of the Scriptures and their application. All right, thus ends the reading of John chapter 18. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.